You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The World Health Organization said last month that the coronavirus could become epidemic, like HIV. The WHO warned against any attempt to predict how long it would keep circulating and called for a massive effort to counter COVID-19. What is it like to be HIV positive during a global health crisis? What are lessons carried over from the AIDS crisis of the 80s and 90s? Your experiences, your questions, they're welcome. 800-642-1234. Mike Gifford is president and CEO of Vivant Health, formerly known as the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin, providing prevention and treatment for 20 years. Mike, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It's great to be with you, Kate. I hope you're doing well this morning.
I am. Same to you. Mike, you have served people in 15 different locations across four states. What changes have you made to your operations in the wake of COVID-19?
Before we talk about the changes that we've made, I want to just share with the listeners what we haven't changed, and that is Vivant's four-decade-long commitment to equality as we serve people that sadly are too often pushed to the edges of our society. You know, your introductory comments about how HIV and the COVID-19 pandemic are similar are really timely, and it goes beyond the infectious nature of the disease and the large reach of the diseases to who is greatly impacted. And we know that the racism that has been highlighted by the murder of George Floyd is one of those contributing factors that really fuels both the COVID-19 and the HIV pandemic. So we have not changed our decades-long commitment to assuring everybody receives the care they need, regardless of who they love, the color of their skin, or how much money or how little money they have. What we have changed is how we provide those services. We've done that to protect our patients and our clients and certainly our staff, although we don't call them staff. We have champions at Vivant, and we've done that by having about 90% of our champions work from home, rely on new telehealth technology that assures access to medical care, mental health services. We've completely redesigned how we operate our pharmacy and our food pantry to assure home delivery so that our patients and clients can safely stay home and not have to venture out to get life-saving medication and food. And we've reconstructed our prevention programs to do things like provide testing in people's homes rather than requiring them to come to the facility. So while we've morphed a lot of what we do to meet the needs of our patients and clients, 10,000 of them all over the country, and what we haven't done is stray from our longtime commitment to ensure that we are fighting for fairness and justice and equality and working to overcome things like racism that fuel the HIV epidemic.
Mike, let's look at a piece of that equation, because certainly getting the medications and staying on a strict regimen of medications is really important. How are you getting those prescriptions out?
Right now, we are operating four pharmacies around the country, and those prescriptions, about half of our pharmacy staff are in the pharmacy, about half of our pharmacy staff are at home, making sure that prescriptions are getting filled, the right information's available, contacting physicians' offices, all those sorts of things. And last week, 99.5% of our prescriptions were home delivered. And that may be a courier that brings it across town from our Madison pharmacy. It may be an overnight delivery company that would offer up that delivery into rural or greater Wisconsin. But it's, you know, one of the key things, Kate, on this has been the way that we have really prioritized staying in contact with our patients and clients. I think we've done that in a way that no other healthcare organization in the country has. And what we've done is make a commitment that every week we will call every one of our patients and clients to make sure they're okay. A big part of that is to make sure they have the medications they need.
We're talking with Mike Gifford, CEO of Vivant Health. You can join in. Are you monitoring your health during this time and you're HIV positive? What concerns you? What questions have you raised? And how have you talked with your healthcare provider at this time? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Mike, as you are in contact with your clients, how is telehealth working for you? And what has that conversion been like?
You know, the telehealth conversion has been something that we've been working on for a number of years, and which is very well positioned to dramatically expand. Got to share with you a funny story. When we started this a number of years ago, Kate, it was in our mental health program, and it was telepsychiatry, and we apparently didn't communicate quite right with the first patient who drove from from Green Bay down to Milwaukee for his telehealth appointment. Not realizing that all he had to do was call.
Oh dear!
It's one of those examples where you know you have to work out the bugs as you move forward. But right now, 100% of our mental health therapy is happening via telehealth. Obviously, with all of the precautions in place, assuring compliance with confidentiality, tips, and those sorts of things. But what it's fueled by is a very powerful electronic health record that we use, Epic. We're very grateful we have that tool that allows for much easier communication with our patients and clients, and a real dedication of our champions to almost instantaneously go from a model where they're seeing patients across the exam room or across the mental health therapy room, certainly closer than 6 feet, right back prior to COVID-19, almost instantaneously, literally 48 hours later, to seeing 100% of their patients via telehealth. So the system's been very powerful, but our champions and their response has been equally powerful.
How are people... go ahead.
I was just going to say, sadly, the developments related to George Floyd's murder has really complicated the mental health provision that we provide, as so many people are struggling with the outgrowth of that and the racism that is wrapped in that. But we're certainly here to help our patients and clients through that also.
Mike, a medical question here. How do people who are living with HIV, are they more at risk when it comes to the coronavirus?
You know, I would say the jury's still out on that, Kate. The reality is that if you're living with HIV and you aren't getting access to medical care and you're not getting access to medication, you have a compromised immune system, there's no doubt that you're at greater risk if you contract HIV. We know, sadly, that people with HIV have a number of other underlying health conditions, including those that contribute to complications related to COVID-19. And we know that the HIV population is aging, with more than half of people living with HIV over 50 years old at this point. So they are certainly on all of those categories that place them at higher risk for COVID. We certainly have been monitoring that, providing testing to our patients and clients. And thankfully, at this point, all of our patients that have tested positive for COVID-19 have recovered. And I think that has a lot to do with this integrated care model that Vivant Health is still well known for, taking care of all of healthcare needs, but then also those social determinants of health that our patients and clients need so that they can be successful and healthy.
We have Vivant Health CEO Mike Gifford as we talk about living with HIV amid the pandemic. What questions do you have about the spread of HIV and complications? Are you familiar with PrEP? Do you take an HIV prevention medication? Are you getting it delivered to your home? Are you able to safely access your health care? Be part of this. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Mike Gifford right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about living with HIV amid the pandemic. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And I want to take a moment to remember Larry Kramer, the prominent AIDS activist who died 1 week ago from pneumonia at age 84. His AIDS activism, calling out the federal government as HIV spread throughout the U.S. and the world in the 80s, that is relevant today as we face another epic health crisis. Did you work in healthcare during the AIDS crisis and see it unfold before you? What insights can you draw from those experiences decades ago? We're at 800-642-1234. We have Mike Gifford with us, CEO of Vivant Health. Mike, let's reflect on the legacy of Larry Kramer. What did he mean to activism?
For AIDS activism, Larry meant everything, right? It's almost difficult for us to remember those times in the early 80s, but it was a time where people just weren't talking about HIV, right? And denying it or blaming the gay community. And Larry just cut through all of that with powerful activism, really, really teaching so many of us what it really meant to effectively fight for your life. And he obviously did that very, very well for a number of years. And you know, there's such parallels between that and COVID pandemic, and certainly the racism that is highlighted in the news today. Back in the early days of HIV, the rallying cry is silence equals death. And it was a time when our government wasn't acting and wasn't talking about HIV and AIDS, and HIV was rapidly spreading, much like happened in January and February in the COVID pandemic. And you know, now certainly the rallying cry, the activism cry that white silence is violence in the fight against racism. There's so many parallels, and whether it's HIV or COVID or racism, we just need as a society not to be silent. We need to strongly advocate for the fair, just, equitable treatment, inclusion of all people.
When you look back at the AIDS crisis in those years, what lessons were learned in public health?
It's lessons that are being implemented today in the COVID-19 crisis. You know, people like Dr. Debbie Birx and Dr. Tony Fauci, who we've become commonplace on our monitors and on our phones and on our TV screens, did all of their career work in the fight against HIV, right? So easy access to testing, overcoming stigma associated with testing positive, contact tracing, all of those sorts of things really grew out of the HIV epidemic. And candidly, without people like Debbie Birx and Tony Fauci helping to lead the national response, we'd be in a far, far worse place than we are as we're knocking on the door of almost 2 million COVID positive cases diagnosed here in our country.
We're talking with Mike Gifford, who's president of Vivant Health, and you can join in. What questions do you have about the spread of HIV? What parallels do you see from the AIDS crisis in the 80s? Do you work in healthcare now, and did you back then? What can you draw from that? Do you take an HIV prevention medication? How is it going now? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at wpr.org. Mike, from a practical standpoint, how can people who are living with HIV protect themselves while they venture out of their homes, while they go about living their life right now?
You know, the great thing for people with HIV is that they have a chance to live a long and healthy life. If they pass what we call the GIFS test, if they're diagnosed, right, 1 in 6 people living with HIV aren't diagnosed. If they get into care, sadly, 1 in 5 people with HIV don't get into medical care. If they see a high-quality physician who knows how to provide treatment, if they get access to medication, and if they take those medications correctly every day for the rest of their lives, if that all happens, they can regain and sustain their health so that the precautions for them going out and about in the community during the COVID-19 pandemic are the same for people who are not living with HIV. It's when people don't have access to treatment, don't have what's called an undetectable viral load, which simply means their HIV is treated as best as possible. That's when extra precautions need to be taken.
Let's look at funding and budget. We've seen many healthcare organizations and hospitals struggling to stay afloat. What does your budget line look like?
You know, we're so grateful that we have not had to curtail any services for patients and clients for financial reasons. The generosity of the community has been tremendous in private donations, extra donations in response to the COVID pandemic. And we know that our challenges and the needs of people we serve are greater now than ever before. We are serving 25% more people through our food pantry. The amount of rent assistance that people have requested is up by about 20%. And those are just embedded in the basic truths that if you're living with HIV and you're hungry, you're probably more likely to seek out food than medicine. And if you're homeless, you're more likely to seek out shelter than a doctor's appointment. So we're trying to meet those basic needs, and those basic needs are growing substantially for us. And that's where the generosity of the community, we'll continue to rely on that. We need people's help. They can help us by going to thriveandhealth.org and making a donation. But at this point, we've been able to meet that need. The challenge is how much more lies ahead for us, and that's where we need people to continue to step up.
You're from an interesting vantage point because you work across multiple states. I'm wondering if you see variations right now in the approach and the you know, what your clients are and patients are facing in other states.
Certainly, there's substantial variation when we look at where we're operating. We have offices and clinics in Wisconsin and in Colorado and in Missouri and in Texas. And there are variations, I think, really fall along a couple different lines. One, we have to acknowledge that healthcare in those four states is dramatically different. As an example, the Medicaid program in Wisconsin is much more comprehensive than the Medicaid program is in Texas. The Medicaid program in Wisconsin helps make sure that people get access to basic care. Can't say that for other states around the country. So that that is sort of a foundation from which we work. Big challenge in states like Texas that have opened up so quickly, and really a substantial fear that patients have about what that means for their health risk. And then certainly fear and concern about the protests and the civil unrest that we're also trying to help patients and clients cope with, that is much more significant in a state like Wisconsin than it has been in a city like Austin. St. Louis and Denver have also seen their protests that really are concerning to our patients and clients also. Not protests, the civil unrest.
Civil unrest.
Yeah, I apologize.
Not to overlook Pride Month, celebrated in June each year. Last year marked the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots. How should we be thinking about this month when we can't gather?
Yeah, it's COVID-19 has taken so much from us, right? Whether it's your child's high school graduation or a child's prom or the chance for us to work and interact in the office or even be with friends, right? And we have to make sure that it doesn't steal the pride celebration for us. And we need to, even in these very difficult, dark times, celebrate. And, you know, one of the ways that I think we need to celebrate is remembering how intertwined the pride movement and civil rights movements are, right? These are not separate, distinct, siloed situations. We know that there's great African-American leaders in the LGBT movement, great LGBT leaders in the African-American civil rights movement. And in that, we need to pause, we need to celebrate, and we need to roll up our sleeves and continue the fight for justice and equality.
Quickly here, Vivint runs the LifePoint Needle Exchange Program. Do you have concerns right now surrounding drug use since the pandemic began?
The ability to continue the LifePoint Needle Exchange Program throughout Wisconsin has been really central to our response to the COVID pandemic, and we're grateful that we're reaching virtually the same number of people through that program. The opioid epidemic is exploding and continues to explode in Wisconsin, and that could be a great topic to come back and spend a whole program on. I'd be happy to do that.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us, and take care.
You too. Have a great day, Kate.
You too. Mike Gifford, CEO of Vivant Health, which provides HIV care and prevention at a dozen locations in Wisconsin, Colorado, Missouri, Texas. Coming up, we talk with a Milwaukee alderman who represents the Sherman Park neighborhood about the civil demonstrations and unrest in the city following the death of George Floyd. That's right after this news update here on the Ideas Network.